The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 31. It is much faster to float down a river on your back, carried along by the current, than it is to run along the rough, woodsy banks of one whilst trying to keep an eye on someone floating midstream. It is much, much faster. For this reason, Alvy was carried some distance away from Roger and me as we stumbled and trotted along the uneven and scrubby banks of the Humbunga. I stopped even attempting to run after I fell, tore my pants, and badly skinned my knee. From then on, I rather gingerly made my way along as best I could in Roger's wake. Even if I had not had the fairly obvious landmark of a largish river flowing along on my left, I would have been able to easily track him. His path was filled with broken and bent branches, bits of torn clothing, a wee bit of a blood trail, and finally, one of his shoes. This last I picked up as I thought he might need it when I eventually caught up with him. This I did not long after. He was sitting on the ground, panting and sweating. He looked quite the mess. He was covered in small scratches, and much of his clothing was torn. And he was, of course, wearing only one shoe. This I handed to him, and he put it on, wordlessly. I sat down beside him, and there we remained for a while, neither of us saying anything. What was there to say? We'd lost another member of our party. We were both fairly convinced at that point that Alvy was drowned. How could he not be? Although I had never been all that keen on the fellow, as I blamed him and Roger primarily for the discomforting set of inconveniences I had suffered throughout the course of this foolish and misguided expedition, still, I felt a bit sad. He was not without his good points, and I should not have wished this wet and sorry end for him. After a while, Roger got up and started walking back, rather dejectedly, in the direction of the river crossing, our waiting camels and our simian companion. I followed along behind, still not saying anything to him. After all, Alvy was, or had been, Roger's friend, and I thought maybe he needed to be left alone for a time in order to grieve for the loss of his clubmate. I began to wonder, though, as I walked along, what had happened to the guide Hobie. Why had he mounted his camel and torn off like that? Where was he headed? What was his plan? Had he just simply abandoned us? But as I couldn't answer these questions, I thought it best to stop asking them, even of myself, and so I just followed along behind Roger, silent and thinking really nothing at all.